Romans 1. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I just thought I'd read that for a coda to you, what your comment. Never mind. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts or creeping things. And it's not just those listings. It's anything that you have a picture of in your mind. You change the glory of God into a thing, a success, a movement, or a feeling. Or remember how long we studied about there are molten images and graven images. The graven images are your idea of the way things should be, and your molten images are your emotional response to those. So, you change the glory of God into that which is corruptible. This is what it means to take the name of God in vain. Because you take this mystery of God and you put God's name on something that's corruptible. And so, in a very real sense, that's what you were doing yesterday.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what you're seeing there.
The only thing we can do is repent.
Right.
You were saying we just live. And God's going to take care of everything.
Well, God brings us to repent. Through our living
experience. Right, but once you've seen the emptiness of everything, and then you revert back to it by just saying, I'm just living, then you are changing the corruptible, incorruptible, or you're making the glory of God corruptible because you're saying God is doing this. In other words, it's God that's causing me to rebel. It's God that I'm just living. Even the thing that I say, for years I've said, just love God and have fun. That's everything. But then you have to see that the word love there is a verb. It's agapeo. And it means give importance only to Him and have fun. But if I say I love God and I'm still serving this mammon, then I am in big, deep doo-doo. And I'm serving the mammon because I already know its emptiness and futility. I have agreed. I've said amen to vanity of vanity. All is vanity. And then I say, well, I'm just over here doing my thing.
I'll grant you, this is a very important point.
Yes. It couldn't get any bigger.
Yeah, we're down where it happens.
This is why I said you've got to address this. If you don't see this, it has to be addressed. Or else you have to prove me wrong.
Well, I think talking about it addresses it. There's nothing I can do if I see it. No.
Remember what I've said. When I would find something, when I was going through the process of trying to find loopholes, if I saw anything that was an apparent contradiction or that didn't, I wouldn't do anything else. Everything else stopped until I saw that. Because it was so seminal to this, to the cross.
Yeah.
So I didn't even take hardly a next breath. I mean, I didn't do anything except pray and seek and study and whatever, talk and whatever was necessary until that apparent conflict was resolved. That's what I mean by don't leave it hanging.
Okay.
Because if you leave it hanging and time ends, then there's the garment is spotted by the flesh. And again, this is especially true if you have said amen, which you have had many times, to the futility and emptiness of human effort.
You know, there's a real thing here. What about, you know, sin has been dealt with on the cross by your death.
But then you've resurrected it. You've resurrected that one which is the evil one. That one which is the son of perdition. Because you haven't repented. I'm just going to live my life until God shows it to me.
Well, that's a little casual
expression. Well, that's what you said yesterday.
I didn't say it with that attitude or expression.
Well, of course not.
And so there's a difference in the communication.
Right, and the difference is time.
No, the difference is that it's confidence that God will and is able and reveals all the time himself, no matter what.
Again,
no matter what I do.
Again, hear me, Gary. Listen,
listen. If I resurrect myself and I see it, when it happens,
that all assumes that this time is going to continue. Can you? We're back to the same issue. That's what I said yesterday. We're back to the same issue of time. That's why we must redeem the time, because the days are evil. To redeem the time must mean we see it all. We see the eternity. We see the end now. Otherwise, we'll use that as an excuse to have two lives. Or we'll use it as an excuse for sloth. And we don't do it consciously. We say, well, I'm going to commit sloth, or I'm going to be in rebellion. No, what we say, well, I'll just wait until I see, like, tell God, you know.
Maybe it's better seen than Harry.
What?
Maybe, but I got to tell you what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
Which is, go back to our conversation last night. If I grit my teeth and wait, this will be okay. I'll come out of this. I'll wait. He'll hit me again. I'll grit my teeth. I'll hold on. I will win this. All I have to do is persevere. I will win this. Well, what if the next SWAT is kills you? I mean, that's what he's saying. There is no,
yeah, well,
there is no gritting my teeth and waiting this out.
Yeah, and that's why I said to you last night about our incident with the dogs, is repentance comes early. You don't have to go through all the agony and turmoil if we see it.
Yeah, but you're not repenting for the gods, for your purpose.
Pardon me?
You're not repenting for your purpose. You're repenting for God. It's not you repent so you don't have to go through something. It's repent because you see your own incredible evilness. That's why we read that thing in 2 Peter. There has to be zeal to address it. But if you don't, then you're just lukewarm. I'm just hanging out. And that's why, as long, and it always happens, as long as you think there is time, then you not because of it's you, but because it's the human mind. As long as you think there is time left for something to happen, then God will show it to me someday. No, because what if there isn't time? And so there has to be that zeal, and I promise you, when you see there's no more time, you'll find it impossible to cope.
You don't need to.
No, it's not a matter of need.
You only cope in time.
Right. The point of coping is that it's sloth. And it's literally saying to God, remember in Hebrew, the opposite of love isn't hate, the opposite of love is sloth. I mean, am I communicating to anybody? I mean, you do it one way, Harry does it another way. Harry does it, well, I'll just, man, this has been bothering me for 3 weeks, and I'm just, You have the capacity to do it, so it doesn't even bother me. But both of you do the same damn thing. And that is, you don't come to resolution, wow, because, well, I'm just going to give it time. Now, everybody else does it too, but you happen to both, Clyde and Slide here, are our two witnesses. Can you?
Yeah, I mean, you have
otherwise, you'll excuse it.
You have to see the ultimate reality of it. I mean, it's you're dancing on the edge of the abyss.
And what I could get concerned about is, and some of your, when you speak, is that that comes through in your words. And it's and I know you don't. It's just this same enemy that's trying to keep you. Because I know you know it. But this excuse is rebellion. Anybody? Am I communicating?
Yeah.
You since you're sitting in the elder seat. You understand? Is there something that you don't? Can you expand on the tale? Somebody help me.
I was thinking we're going to cover this again, chapters 5 and 6.
I know, but that's 6 months from now.
Yeah,
we just
well
get
said.
To that part. What I would see is Gary's describing that we know what's going to happen. We know that I'm going to resurrect the evil one, but then God's going to fix it. But you can't ever look forward in time and say, there's going to be disobedience, but it's okay because then there's going to be a revenge of the disobedience. You can't, even though that may happen, you can't let your mind go there.
No, because you'll automatically excuse rebellion, which means that you are excusing witchcraft.
You're like Agag.
Exactly. And it's not that Agag was that evil. He was just all of us. I'll just save the good and I'll give it to God later.
Surely the bitterness of death is bad.
It's taking for granted
the sacrifice.
Grace. It's taking for granted that all things continue as they have from the beginning and will continue. I was sitting yesterday afternoon and unsuspectingly, which is how these things hit me, just out of nowhere came the realization that the stuff that I do, like yesterday morning, throwing this snit over here about stuff wasn't the way I think it should be. The amazing grace that God doesn't just obliterate me and should have years ago and 1,000 times over should just set me on fire. And the idea of taking that for granted that he will do it again and again and again is a scary. It's a scary piece of presumption. It's evil.
Yeah, and again, you cannot give breath to time if you have the fear of God. It can't happen. That's why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And to imply or to assume, and again, both of you do it, to apply or to assume that time, there's going to be time remaining for me to get out of this, is unbelievably huge. I mean, it's literally trotting underfoot the blood of the Holy One. And until that's seen, then you're going to, either you're going to grin and bear it or grit your teeth and bear it, or you're going to cope. Now, we don't have to wait till chapter 5 and 6 to get to it. It's just in that couple of verses away. All right? Thank you. who changed the truth of God. Well, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust. Wait a minute, where are we? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, in verse 23, into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-legged beasts and creeping things. It's not even two verses away, it's one verse. Wherefore God also gave them up. Now this is, if this doesn't frighten you, I don't know what will. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between or among themselves. Now what this means is, go back to Isaiah 65. He's just expanding on the tale there. I'm sorry, 66. I said it wrong. I got it wrong. Because I promise you, listen carefully. What you automatically do if you're not at this mercy seat piece, what you automatically do is you do this. All these things that we talked about before. Starting verse 3. He that killeth an ox, as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. And he that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Now, that's what happens. Once you leave the mercy seat, it's not that you should or shouldn't, it's that you will automatically start making offerings in order, not, you don't do it, you just be. I mean, let me give you a perfect example. You can sit in disagreement and with what everything that's being said, but you'll shake your head, yes, that's an offering. You got it? And then that'll extend to other things. You'll find yourself acting differently to different people. You become a different person in order to gain an advantage. This is not because you're innately any more evil than anyone else is, but it's because God is giving you back over to that whole unholy system. Now here's what it says. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Once after the cross, once anybody made an offering of any kind, then this came. Now, before, when you're in the world, it may take you your whole lifetime to find it out. But once you've named his name, and once you say that this, you've said amen to the, by his grace, he causes it to happen quickly. Boom, boom, boom. But Harry could go, I'm serious, Harry could go months and be battling something in his mind and never say a word. And the only thing that's happened over time, it's not that he's gotten old and feeble, it's that he cannot stand to do it more than a day or two now at the most. You know, you could go 7, 8, 10 years. Well, now you can only go a week or more, maybe. And that's what's happening. And in Haggai's description of it, you know, you earn money to put in a bag full of holes, and the little you do get, he blows upon it. Why? Because you're using your income and you're using what you get to make an offering. You're going up to the mountain and making an offering to the wrong God. Am I communicating at all?
I'm afraid to shake my head yes.
Huh?
I'm afraid to shake my head yes.
Me too. No nod offerings anymore for you.
Good. And some, their offering is silence.
I'm not even going to look at you.
Well, that's going to help.
No, I'm just saying sin in you.
What?
I'm just saying sin
in you. I didn't hear my ears.
No, he was responsible because I said, for some, their offering is silence.
It's immediately.
No.
Who would the king delight to honor?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right. Go back to Romans. For this cause, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Now, they're not vile to us. I mean, 24, excuse me. For wherefore God also gave them up, he repeats it again, to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Again, we don't think it's uncleanness. But God does, because we've gone back to Babylon. We're touching the unclean thing.
Have you seen that new Jaguar that just came out with?
Is it unclean?
That's perfect. I mean, I'm sitting there the other night minding my own business, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, shit, I gotta get a job. I gotta buy that car and get a Jag.
Is this communicating to you, Gary?
Yeah. Terribly.
This is the same process. Remember, God will never violate your will. He's not going to, I'm going to just keep doing this until God shows me. No. Not if you've seen the end. Instead of God showing you, he's going to give you up so that the sin will become exceedingly sinful. He's going to give you up to yourself. Doesn't that sound familiar? I mean, that's the worst thing that can happen to you. Because you're back following your nose again. And your mind begins the same thing it did 50 years ago. That's what I want. I want a Jaguar, then I'll be manly.
Say it in a parent-child relationship. Finally, the parent, just in exasperation, says,
take your hands off.
My hands are off. Do it.
What Gary did when his hands were off, he gave her to me. But that's fine. That was good. I mean, that's what we all should do. Not give it to me, but give it to somebody else. But you can't let it slide. We have Clyde and slide. Huh?
I thought being slide was better than Clyde, but I don't know.
No, it's witchcraft. What?
Wicked witchcraft.
What's that? Now what's he doing?
When you said that, all I could hear was Frank Sinatra. It's witchcraft.
Strictly taboo.
Wicked witchcraft. Strictly taboo.
You could hear who?
When you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Sinatra.
That's a skit.
Witchcraft. I'm sorry. Just start playing.
I think that's enough. I quit. We didn't even go anywhere today.
I'll never get the 5% witchcraft.
Well, this is something that you've got to see. We really shouldn't go anywhere. We shouldn't do anything else. We shouldn't leave this room. That's what we used to do. If you remember, when we'd have Bible study for 12 hours.
Can't break for lunch.
Tell them it's nothing but a puddle.
Bacon break.
Well, this is when we were out in the country at a field trip watching dead cows' bodies.
I'll tell you this. If you will go over there and beat on Kevin until he promises to take yesterday's Bible study, turn it into an MP3 that I can get, I will put it on my iPod, and you can take it with you today and listen to it.
It's already on the server.
It's up there?
Yeah.
Okay, come see me. I'll put it on my iPod. You can listen to it.
Do you ever they just spoke in a foreign language.
Yeah. He's going to put something on his
iPod. Something.
All I heard is I just have to go see Harry.
Go see Harry.
Go see Harry.
Take it, big guy.
That was all I needed.
Why am I in this meeting about on the 12th? I don't have to come to the meeting.